brothers and sisters, welcome back to another episode of Life here at the Matchnet Podcast. This is the podcast for single folks in particular who want to get blessed, who want to get matched and have a fantastic, epic, smashing blessing and family, a blessed family sometime in the future, hopefully soon, hopefully not too late. But also I want to emphasize, you know, there's a blessing coming up and I've been talking with quite a few folks who are not getting blessed and kind of feeling, you know, the urgency or missing out, right? The fear of missing out, FOMO, is really real right now. And I want to say, first of all, congratulations to everyone that is going to the blessing. I will see you there in Korea. And also, congratulations to everyone that's not getting blessed. Congratulations to you guys. Well done, my folks. Why? Because being single is hard. It can be hard. And it's also simultaneously a beautiful time of your life that God made with purpose, with intention, with vision. Think about it like that. There's a reason that there's a period of your life that you're not in a relationship. There's a necessary cycle of life that you have to go through, an experience you have to go through in order to become a marriageable person, in order to experience individual maturity and completion, guys. And to rush through that experience with urgency and fear and just, I got to get blessed as soon as possible. I'm missing out. That's not how this time of your life is meant to be used, guys. So please know that you are exactly where you are right now in your life. And your time will come. But congrats to you guys. And this podcast is really for you guys who really are serious about matching and blessing. That's the entire premise of why we started the Matchnet Podcast in the first place, was to give you all fuel for thought, food for thought, and help you prepare intentionally for this blessing, right? So today I had a really spontaneous episode idea just came to me while I'm sitting here in freezing temperatures, Aomori, Japan, way up northern Japan, snow outside, still on the ground, about 5 feet tall. And I had this inspiration because I was having a few conversations recently with people that are struggling with the idea of letting go, the idea of surrender. For some of you, when you hear the words let go, surrender, you might feel, I don't want to do that. That's scary. I don't like that idea, that feeling. And for some of you, this really resonates because it resonates with me. And it resonates with you because you struggle with letting go of control. You can identify and observe in your own thoughts, feelings, and behavior that you tend to hold tightly to specific outcomes and things going your way and your preferences and fears of things going a certain way or anxiety about the future unfolding in ways that you hope them not to do, which is natural in human nature. But to obsessively feel like we have to control and not give up our own preferences, to let God and life unfold in miraculous ways, is not a healthy way to live. So this episode is really for you guys that want to stop trying to control things and let go and let God and surrender, right? Jesus, take the wheel, as they say. And I'm making this particularly because it's really real and raw for me right now. My intention for being here in Japan, well, really we're here for 3.5 months because usually we come to Japan every year. We come here with the whole family, or every 2 years, but usually we try to come every year to visit Hitoe, my wife's family, her parents, and also just to kind of hang out with our kids and have a good Japanese experience. And so this time we came for 3.5 months because I'm going to be traveling quite a bit to Korea, to the blessing and events for a few weeks. And then I'll be traveling around the world in many locations doing workshops with High Noon. We're going to do a world tour with High Noon. And so I'm going to be traveling a lot. So I thought it'd be better to have my family here in Japan where they can thrive without me and have a good time. So that's the context of why we're here. But my personal intention is I want to become somebody that is at peace and clear and secure despite chaos and despite lack of control, because the entire experience of being here in Japan and doing all the traveling we're about to do, it breeds chaos. It it really does instill lots and lots of uncertainty. Case in point, here in this house, this big, Japanese cold, icy house in Aomori, way up north, the most northern point. We are in the most northern point of Honshu Island, the main island in Japan. And it is cold right now as I'm sitting here in this Japanese room, in this big house that is just, for lack of a better word, cluttered with stuff that should have been thrown away 30 years ago. Like, let's be honest. And it's hard for me because, like, my house in America is like everything has a place, and I will give away, donate, sell, or throw away everything that doesn't add any value or joy or utilitarian, you know, use to our lives. And it's just filled with stuff. And I offered them to throw. I was like, I'll clean out this entire house during this our stay here. I'll do it. I'll pay to have it all removed because you have to pay some fees in Japan. And, you know, Hito's parents were like, no, we'll do it. We'll take care of it, which they won't, right? And so this is an opportunity for me to let go and surrender. Of course, I have a desire for just to kind of minimalize this house a little bit because it's a little too cluttered to declutter it. But I have to let go, right? And so my whole practice being here is about being comfortable in chaos, being at peace with myself, in despite just having absolutely no control over what's going on, right? Another example would be there's a TV that's always on in the living room here, and which is not my preference because we don't have a TV at home in the States. My kids don't watch TV, but the TV's always on, and there's always stuff that's going on, right, on TV. News, there's shows, there's all kind of stuff. And so I can either try to control this and stress about what's on the TV, which is like my tendency, but I'm just like, you know what? This is the experience that they're gonna have for the next 3 months. There's just gonna be TV on, and we're just gonna talk about the stuff we're watching. We're gonna make an experience where if we see something that's a little strange, or the news is showing something a little weird, or things that I would rather them not watch, we'll talk about that kind of stuff, and we'll make it a family conversation instead. And so that's me just like letting go. So this is my intention here, is I want to be somebody that is just able to let go and surrender and admit that I don't know what's best, that oftentimes life unfolds in ways that we try to micromanage, but we can't because life has been working for billions of years, guys, to create you, to create this world, to create our life situations, to create the ability to perceive life and have consciousness as you, as an individual, for you to have the family that you have, for you to have the future spouse and future children that you're going to create. That's all life unfolding that you have very little control over. So tiny. And yet we try to just completely absorb all of that and be like, I can control, right? Which is exhausting. It's exhausting. If you've ever known what I'm talking about, it is exhausting to try to control everything and things to not go our way as they usually don't, and to get all stressed and anxious and like, oh, how do I figure this out? How do I do this? How do I control my finances? How do I fix my car? How do I make my schedule for this? How do I do all this stuff? How do I get matched as soon as possible? How do I get the blessing fee together? How do I, all this stuff that we stress over and over analyze, right? And I'm not here to say that it's not okay to organize and plan and to control things. At times, there needs to be. But if it comes to the point where we're obsessing over stuff, we're not able to let God work. Like, just talk about matching processes, for example. How many times you think like, oh, it would be nice to have a spouse like this. Or it'd be nice to have a matching process go this way. It'd be nice for my parents to think this way and to believe things the way that I believe them, or to have the same preferences as me. It'd be great if, like, think about it like this. As soon as you have one preference, it's okay to have preferences. Let me state that as a caveat. But as soon as you say, she has to speak English fluently, he has to be from this country, her parents have to be within X amount of miles radius from my home or from this country, or they have to have a certain type of faith, or they have to never have had any type of experience in the past with sexuality or addiction or whatever it is, as soon as you put it on any of those filters or preferences, guys, what happens? Just one. You immediately restrict God from working. Immediately. I think we should take a page out of the book of the first generation or anyone that has been to a matching ceremony by true parents. Do you think that your parents, if your parents were matched by true parents, do you think they had some preference when they went to the matching? Do you think they had a preference about who their spouse was? Of course they did. Of course. We're human. Of course they did. Of course. Absolutely. We're biologically wired for preferences, my friend. But the difference is they decided deliberately at the time they were face to face with father and mother, and father and mother said, are you willing to put aside your preferences for God? Are you willing to put aside your preferences for something bigger, for a blessed family that is beyond just what you can comprehend right now in the scope of your lens? Can you put those aside? They said, yes, Father, yes, Mother, yes, God, I will do that. That is what I'm talking about. That's the heart I'm talking about. It's okay to have preferences. We all do. But to be able to look at those and be like, man, it would be great if my spouse was like this. But you know what? Maybe I don't know what's best. Maybe there's plans at play. Maybe there's life happening. Maybe there's God happening. Maybe my ancestors are working in a way that I can't see right now. And I'm going to, word of the day, surrender my life experiences to unfold in a beautiful, magnificent, majestic way that I could never have conceived on my own. Because you can't. Life has been working for billions of years to put you here for you to have this experience of life. And for you to think that you can control the outcomes of your life, ludicrous. You can't. You can't, my friend. We can't. We cannot. And so I was thinking about the most difficult decisions in my life that I've ever made, okay? And I'm actually going to read them to you because I was reflecting on the airplane on the way here. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'm going to. I was reflecting on the airplane here about surrender, all right? The biggest surrender moments of my life. And I listed them out. And I tried to kind of gauge with myself, was it a hard decision? How hard was it to make those decisions, right? And these are decisions that impacted my life the greatest. When I was 11 years old, I decided to go to GOP to learn Korean. When I was 15, I decided to go to BTA to have a faith conversion experience. When I was 17 years old, I decided to go to a matching ceremony. By far, one of the most impactful things in my life. And when I was 18 years old, I decided to learn Japanese. One of the most impactful things in my life. When I was 21, we decided to have our first child. All right. When I was also 21, I decided to work for headquarters in New York City and move from Tokyo, Japan to New York. When I was 23, we decided to have our second child. When I was 24, we decided to move from New York to North Carolina, back to live with close to my parents. All right. When I was 29, we decided to have our third child, all right? When I was 31, I decided to go to the rebirth workshop in Las Vegas. That was 2023, a few years ago. And the last one I wrote is when I was 21, a few months after the rebirth workshop, I decided to take my whole family to Korea for 2 weeks to experience Cheongpyeong and to experience Chanyang, to go up the mountain together and do all that stuff. And so those are the entire list of the most impactful decisions I've ever made that took a lot of surrender for me. But then I noted in this note, this is what I wrote, the biggest surrender moments for me were not hard decisions. Actually, it became very clear to me at the time what the right decision was. And this was where it's interesting, because I now believe, looking at my past life, that the most important decisions we make that require the most surrender are actually not the hardest decisions. They're usually the most clear decisions. again, going back to the point of seeking clarity over certainty. If you're very clear about something, it would just be a natural draw. It's like, it just makes sense. Coming to Japan here for 3.5 months is a hard decision because we have to sacrifice a lot of our preferences, a lot of our comfort at home, a lot of things we love about living in the States. But when it came time to decide, do we go to Japan during this period of our lives or do we stay in the States? It was very clear. It was an obvious yes, like absolute yes. And even when choosing a spouse for me, when that opportunity came and I was face to face with that decision, with two parents there, with God in my center, it was very clear. It was not a question of like, is this the right decision? I was just like, this is it. And so surrender doesn't have to feel hard, like you're making a flip a coin kind of decision. It's usually very clear and clairvoyant. And it's just an obvious choice. And again, my life is not spectacular in any way, but I do believe that if you were to look at your own life and the big decisions you've made, the surrender moments that you've had, it might look something very similar. And I want you guys to actually go through your life and do a similar process. Or what are the biggest decisions, the most impactful decisions, whether they are, you know, doing something or deciding to let go of something or deciding to you know, go all in with something, whatever it is, make a list of your decisions and ask yourself, like, where was the surrender necessary, the element of letting go necessary here? And what my point is that through doing this exercise, you realize that through letting go, the most beautiful things in our lives do tend to take place as a result of letting go. And so no one can say that better than, I believe, true parents, right? And so I have some quotes here that I'd like to read to you. Even though we are deceived, still believe. Though we are betrayed, still forgive. Love completely, even those who hate you. If you see the good in others and cover their defects with your love, they will follow you. If you see only weakness in others, your spirituality will be ruined. You should be a person who can establish the heavenly kingdom rather than just the one who can go there. Those who can go to heaven are those who wish to be dependent on God, but those capable of building the kingdom are those who can let God depend on them. Give love and forget that you gave it. Absolute faith is not the place of self-affirmation, but the place of self-negation. Life of faith is not limited to our spiritual life. What is important is how our spiritual sensitivity is applied to our relative environment. Be absolutely obedient. Absolute obedience does not lead you to death. What happens when you obey? You become one with the person you obey. What happens once you become one? You repel evil. On the path of faith, fighting and gaining victory over oneself is more difficult than conquering the world. Unless you let go of yourself, your own thoughts, your own habits, God cannot dwell in you. He will wait until your cup is empty. When I was completely broken, with nothing left to rely on, not even myself, that's when God began his work. You must die once, not physically, but in your mind and heart. You must die to yourself so that God can live in you. Only when you abandon your own concept can the truth enter. Your concept is your prison. If you try to carry God on your back, you will not come. But if you bow low and say, I am nothing, he will lift you up and carry you. Before creation, there was nothing. In order to become one with God, you must return to that zero point. You think you are something, but the more you realize you are nothing, the closer you come to God's heart. True love begins where your ego ends. The way of restoration is not climbing up, but going down to the lowest, humblest place where God can finally meet you. Obedience is not just action. It is the surrender of your entire being to the will of heaven. Let go of your conditions. Let go of your calculations. Trust God more than you trust your own mind. True faith is walking in darkness, trusting that the light will come only when you no longer demand it. God cannot fill a heart that is already full. He comes to the broken, the humble, the surrendered. The ocean is vast because it is lower than the rivers. If you want to receive all things, you must become lower than all things. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for tuning in to this episode. Thank you for listening. And if you have any topics, suggestions for the podcast, feel free to let us know. Let me know. All right. See you in the next one. Bye.